Hello and welcome to the Money Talk podcast. I'm Ed Monk. We are reacting, of course, to the general election result, which has returned Boris Johnson as Prime Minister and the Conservatives to government. The result was far clearer than many expected and that the polls predicted. What does it mean for investors and for your money? And what questions still remain despite this decisive result? Tom Stevenson is here to talk it over. If you enjoy the show, please rate us, share us, or leave a comment wherever you get your podcast. Did you get what you wanted from the Christmas election? Boris Johnson certainly did, because he now sits on a large majority and a massive vote share for the Conservatives after a result which was far more decisive than many predicted. And the decisiveness of the result seems itself an important factor in how things will now play out. To discuss it more and to look at the impact the results will have on our finances, I'm joined by a slightly bleary-eyed Tom Stevenson, Investment Director here at Fidelity. Tom, all the analysis of this result is now underway, of course. What's your first take on the result?
Well, as you say, it was a larger majority than anyone expected. I think, indeed, the day before, there was a lot of talk about whether we'd actually end up with a hung parliament.
Polls, eh?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Polls struggled to get this right. But to be fair, once the exit poll came in at 10 o'clock, it was pretty much spot on. It was very, very close to the actual result. But no, you know, what I take away from this is that Boris Johnson took a big gamble going to the country, especially when you consider what happened 2 years ago. Theresa May tried the same thing and came badly unstuck. But he did a very accomplished, a very disciplined campaign. He stuck to pretty much all the way through. A few blunders towards the end, but pretty much he stuck to this mantra: get Brexit done. And that seems to have cut through with large swathes of the population, particularly in this what they call the red wall across the north of England. That's where it really paid off.
Yeah, and we're going to come on to talk about some of the significance of how the result sits and the gains that the Tories have made, the types of seats they've made gains in. But we are going to focus primarily, of course, on the investor implications of all this, and markets are part of that. They seem to have reacted well. What message do you think investors have taken from the result?
Well, as ever, the first insight you get into how markets are reacting to these events, especially overnight events, is in the currency markets. And immediately after the exit polls, we had a big bounce in the value of the pound. So it went from about $1.32 up to about $1.35, which is a pretty significant move in currency markets. Then what we've seen this morning as the equity markets opened in the UK is a very big surge, and in particular domestically focused stocks have really performed well. Actually, we got a sense that was going to happen overnight, because the Asian markets were also extremely strong. Slightly difficult to sort of disaggregate what was driving those markets, because also yesterday we had some news on the other big story in global markets, which is the trade war situation. Donald Trump was very positive about the prospects for a deal with China. So I think you look at those Asian markets and we really had two things going on at the same time, both positive.
Yeah, okay. Well, back to the election. I mentioned in the introduction that the size of this win for Boris Johnson is itself important in terms of what happens next. Not simply the fact that he's the Prime Minister, of course, but having a big majority, he can do different things. He will be able to resist different pressures that he might have been under pressure to adhere to before.
Yes, I mean, this is the significant change, because if you look back, really ever since the EU referendum, the government has been acting with one hand tied behind its back, if you like. It's been looking over its shoulder at the right wing Brexiteer element of the party, and really being forced to behave in a way that maybe it wouldn't have chosen to do, but in order to keep keep everyone on side. The beauty of having a large majority is that you get much more flexibility about how you actually approach situations. So he doesn't need to worry about the Brexiteers now. And that gives him a lot more freedom when it comes to the important next stage, which is the negotiation of the trade deal with the EU, because he can give and you can have a bit of give and take in order to strike a good deal. He also doesn't need to worry, for example, about this self-imposed deadline of the end of the year to strike the deal, because actually, you know, who's going to hold him to that now? He's got 5 years before we have to have another election. That gives him a lot of space with a majority of 79 seats at the moment, with one still to declare. That's a very comfortable position, which, you know, the government hasn't been in that position for as long as I can remember.
Yeah, and clearly the market reaction seems to be taking that view that he's now not having to fend off people from the right wing of his party. We'll see. I mean, you know, you never know. I guess watching him, I mean, he spoke a little bit last night after the result, and there'll be lots of attention on what he says next, because you want to get a sense of the Brexit he now envisages. He's talked tough on Brexit. He had to shut down the Brexit party with this promise not to extend past December. We'll see. You know, we'll see about that, as you say. He doesn't... You know, one of the comments that was made a lot in the commentary of the campaign was that Boris Johnson will look forward to Brexit going from the front pages of the newspapers to page 6 of the FT, i.e. it will become a more technocratic issue that people don't care about in quite the same way. And he can say, well, look, guys, we're gonna leave legally at the end of January. Don't need to worry about that. And by the way, I've got 5 years anyway. I'm not going to face another election or another leadership challenge or all the other things that have been at play and putting pressure on people like Theresa May.
We've been saying for a long time, well, you know, get Brexit done is a nonsense, because actually all it means is get Brexit started. But for many people around the country, the end of January will be job done as far as they're concerned. And then, as you say, it may slip from the front page to page 6. Or it may not, actually. I think we may be surprised. And this is where the market reaction is interesting, because, you know, if we do get uncertainty about the outcome at the end of the year, then this initial rally in share prices and the pound may well not be sustainable through next year. So I think, you know, next year is a very interesting moment for the UK.
Yeah, absolutely, because people like Nigel Farage won't go away. And, you know, he was on the news saying, well, you know, my job was done, you know, I got about this big change, and the Tory party became much more leave, hard Brexit sort of party.
And the Europeans are not going to just roll over. Yeah, you know, they are going to negotiate hard as well. So, you know, the next 12 months are very challenging.
Yeah, and as you mentioned there's a deadline in July that if we're going to extend the implementation period, we have to do it by that point. So you can maybe expect a bit more nerves, a bit more brinkmanship up until that July deadline. But the sense this morning is that, you know, that there's... We're tired of that brinkmanship with the EU and big deadlines and all the rest of it. And he doesn't need to force it again.
Yeah, I think so. I think from a market point of view, the risk of a hard Brexit, of an economically damaging hard Brexit, has been pushed far enough into the future for the markets to relax.
Yeah. OK, well, I wanted to spend some time, of course, looking at some of the concrete things we can expect in terms of policy as a result of this election result. We did remark in the campaign that it wasn't a very ambitious Tory manifesto. Some things are going to happen. We're going to get a small tax cut because of a rise in the threshold for national insurance. That's been promised. A cut in corporation tax that had been planned is not now going to happen. I guess for investors, it was more about changes that have now been avoided as a result of Labour losing the election.
Absolutely. This is a relief rally. This is a rally on the back of the fact that Labour is now not going to introduce all sorts of things which investors and businesses were worried about, from a much higher corporation tax, from a measure to take company shares and to hand most of the benefit of that to the Treasury, from income tax rises, introducing a 45% tax rate at £80,000 of salary, a 50% tax rate at £125,000, an alignment of capital gains tax with income tax, which would have raised the top rate of capital gains tax from 20% to 50%. There's a whole raft of things which investors and the city and businesses were really very concerned about. Now that's all off the table, and there's a huge amount of relief about
and
that.
And it's funny, I've written an article this morning about some of the implications for this. I'll confess, I was preparing for that yesterday, and my sort of base case yesterday afternoon was that we'd get some sort of small majority, but certainly smaller than what we've seen today. And the result of a big majority versus a small one is that those Labour measures, which, you know, they lose the election, they're not going to happen, but there might still have been pressure for those sorts of policies. There might have even been pressure on the Conservatives to deliver some sort of more redistributive policies. The size of the result suggests that actually there's not going to be much appetite for Labour to come back again with those sorts of policies, to try and push those policies again. The Conservatives aren't going to be worried about that kind of thing.
Yes, although that said, you know, I think that there is a shift, and that shift reflects the changing nature of the Conservative Party and the changing nature of the people who have voted for the Conservatives. So I think that what we must expect to see is much more focus on the needs and the desires of this more working class, this more northern, this more leave favouring electorate. And I think that means more government spending, more fiscal stimulus. So in a way, the Conservatives are already aping the Labour Party to an extent.
And of course, yeah, so spending terms, absolutely. And the question, I suppose, is, and we're going to get a budget in February, I guess, so we might know a bit more by then, you know, proper budget for the first time in ages, it seems. But they're going to spend big, I think. But how do they pay for it? Is it just purely borrowing, or will they look for bits of the tax system they can tighten up and maybe tax the rich, you know, in other ways, maybe not the sort of very obvious way that Labour were going to do it, but in another way.
Yeah, I mean, they've made some promises, but, you know, they can keep to those promises and maybe find the money from somewhere else, because they are going to have to.
Yeah.
Because if they don't, then borrowing is going to go up.
And another thing that that I've written this morning about the result is that Boris Johnson has had the get Brexit done moment. We're going to get January when it really will be done, legally speaking. It's sort of on him now to turn his attention to the domestic issues that I think we all agree do need attention, things like social care. I was looking at the pension system. We've still got the triple lock for pensions, which is obviously in one sense a popular policy, but it's incredibly expensive. The state pension is going to rise by 3.8% next year. So the government has these problems that need attention, and really the time now is for them to get some attention.
Yes, and the Conservatives' majority has been delivered by people who will expect some progress on those non-Brexit related matters.
Okay, well, finally then, so let's turn to next year. We've spoken about Brexit. The markets seem to think the economy is going to enjoy better conditions next year. Are all the questions answered about the economy? We've had this sort of up and down growth in terms of GDP. What can we expect? Is it all sweetness and light?
Well, no, and I, you know, it's not a light switch moment. You know, we've had many years of a lack of business investment, a lack of consumer confidence, and that's not going to some parts of that could turn on a sixpence. So the consumer confidence, for example, could, but it's going to take time for business to start investing again. And also, you have to remember that the British economy is dependent to a large extent on what's going on in the wider global economy. You know, we are a country of exporters and overseas earners, especially in the FTSE 100. So no, these are not these questions have not all been answered. Goldman Sachs this morning was saying, look, growth is still going to be pretty sluggish in 2020, but it could well pick up pretty sharply in 2021-2022. So yeah, it's not a light switch moment, but basically it is a positive.
is positive. Okay, well, Tom, that is it for now. I'd like to say we're not going to be talking about politics for a while, but I suspect that isn't true. But the election is over and we do have a pretty clear result. So thank you for your help during the campaign, Tom.
Thank you very much, Ed.
Discussed it a lot. That's it for now. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Money Talk podcast. Check fidelity.co.uk for daily written updates and articles on these and other topics from across Fidelity in the UK. And subscribe via iTunes to get the podcast downloaded direct to your devices every week. Please be aware that the value of investments and the income you get from them can go down as well as up, so you may not get back what you invest. This information doesn't constitute investment advice and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision, nor should it be treated as a recommendation for any investment. Eligibility to invest in an ISA or a pension and the value of tax savings depends on personal circumstances, and all tax rules may change. You will not normally be able to access money held in a pension until the age of 55. Reference to specific securities or funds should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell these securities or funds and is included for the purpose of illustration only. Fidelity Personal Investing does not give personal recommendations. If you're unsure about the suitability of an investment, you should speak to an authorised financial advisor.